Hey everybody, welcome back to Steve's NRL 46 for round 6. I'm your host, Stephen Westaway. And how can you tip rugby league? I mean, 1 week, you've got an NRL podcast and you're sitting back, drinking pina coladas, enjoying your perfect round. And a few weeks later, you come in, record the show, think it's going to be a great week, and it's an absolute disaster. I am coming off 3 out of 8 in round 5, and hopefully round 6 can improve on that. But if it can't, I might have to sack myself and get someone else in to do the job, because it was embarrassing last week how wrong I was with some of those games and some of those tips. So hoping for a better week this week, and who would want to be an NRL coach while we're at it? Because I tell you what, there's some clubs under a lot of pressure this week, and one of those clubs, and the big story again this week, is the downfall of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, my club. And don't worry, I'm going to get into them shortly. I'm going to have a potential blow-up and probably a very passionate, I guess, plea to the club. And, my advice is just a guy that loves the game on how they can get out of this mess, or at least attempt to, because yeah, look, we'll get into that. We'll get into that shortly. But, you know, you've got teams like the Dragons coming off a big loss. You've got the Eels who are coming off flogging as well. They've run in the changes this week. And you've got the poor old Gold Coast Titans that don't have a win on the board. So, me and coaching can be a tough gig. But on the opposite side of the equation, when it goes right, it can go really, really well. And, you know, we've seen that in the top side so far this year. The Dolphins still on top of the premiership ladder. Todd Payton's really reignited this Cowboys form that they had in the back end of 2022 and that seemingly went missing in 2023. And, you know, you've got guys like Craig Bellamy and Ricky Stewart that are reliable as ever as the coaches of their club, and they've been there for a long time, and it shows you they're some of the best in the business at doing what they do. So, you know, it's another week of the NRL, and it's, as I'm sure we'll find out, it could be another really unpredictable week of footy. I think the competition's still trying to work itself out after the first month. There's obviously, the competition's closer than ever. There's been sides that have been really good 1 week and really disappointing the next. So it's really hard to get a handle on exactly where all these teams are placed on the ladder. Obviously, we know some are significantly better than others. But in terms of who's premiership heavyweights, obviously we know Penrith are going to be there, Melbourne are going to be there. But everybody else, it's kind of a back and forth at the moment. Like, are teams like the Broncos and Manly, who just beat the Premiers, are they the real deal? Are teams like the Dolphins and the Cowboys a threat this year? Can the Broncos, get back to the grand final? And even teams like, you know, the Roosters and Newcastle, who knows what they're going to do? And they go up against each other on Thursday night. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how, the next few weeks of the season goes, because I think we're going to have more of an indication in a few weeks' time exactly where every team's at. But for some clubs, time's running out already. 5 weeks into the season, they're in crisis, and we'll talk about the Rabbitohs, as I mentioned, in a moment. But before we do that, let's get into round 5, and let's just look at the week that was. As I said, I got 3 out of 8 footy tips, and on Thursday night, a really high-scoring encounter between the Melbourne Storms and the Broncos. A little bit unexpected. There were so many points scored. It was 34-32 Melbourne over Brisbane. And, you know, it was free-flowing football. It was a really entertaining game. And the Broncos raced away to an early lead. But, down 18-10, I believe, at one point. The Storm, they found a way back with resilience. Katoa scored a few tries. He was brilliant. Ezra Meehan had one of the best games that he's had in quite some time, at least since the grand final. And it was, you know, just awesome to see Melbourne back with their full-strength side. Munster playing his first game of the year. Papahausen's looking fitter than ever. Jerome Hughes absolutely on fire to start the year. And Harry Grant leading the side as always. So, plenty of improvement required defensively for both sides, and they let in some soft tries. I know Kevin Walters in particular wasn't really happy. Bellamy didn't know what to think of the game, but Melbourne will take the 2 points and move on this week. But, you know, Brisbane, despite the fact that they didn't get the 2 points, and despite the fact, as I said, they let Melbourne back in the game, some promising signs, and getting some of their younger players like Tristan Saylor and some of the young forwards some more game time without their stars, may really help them in the back end of the year. May really benefit the Broncos if they have a late season rally for a premiership. That depth could be crucial later on, especially if they were to gain some more injuries late in the season. On Friday night, we saw the Bulldogs 30 over the Roosters 26, and wasn't this a game in the half? I mean, we had players getting knocked out everywhere. Unfortunately, Sam Walker and James Tedesco, both players who have had multiple concussions in their career, concussed again. Tedesco, it's his 10th concussion, so they're going to be out for the Roosters this week. And the Bulldogs had a few players fail HIAs as well, and then disaster struck when Blake Taff was knocked out by a tackle gone wrong by Dominic Young that saw him sent from the field. Now, originally I thought that the send-off might have been a little bit harsh, but let's be honest, it did knock Blake Taff out. I think a sin bin might have been sufficient, but if we're looking after player safety here in the NRL, and if they're serious about that, then I can see why they sent Dom Young from the field. Because, yeah, as I said, at the end of the day, this is just a game, and player welfare has to come first. So, you know, the Bulldogs, they raced to a 26-0 lead, and then late in the piece, second half, the Roosters came home with a wet sail and made it a very close game. The Bulldogs surviving late for a Matt Burden try to guarantee the win. He actually scored a hat-trick on the weekend. So, yeah, I mean, the Bulldogs will take the 2 points. I've been very critical of them this year. I probably will continue to be critical of their side. I just don't think they've got the attacking spark and, you know, the players in the positions they need to be successful. And I know they scored 30 points, but they scored 30 points against a team without a bunch of their stars due to injury and HIAs, obviously, and, you know, almost lost to a 12-man Roosters side. They'll take the points, and I'm sure it will help their confidence moving forward, the Bulldogs. But, yeah, obviously they need to be better in some crucial areas if they're going to continue to go on with this momentum they gained in the big win over the Roosters. The second game of Friday night in torrential conditions, it was Newcastle defeating the St. George Yellow Dragons 30-10. I hope everybody's safe with all the flooding, but the second half of this game in particular, a really dour affair, but Kalyn Ponga started again. I thought Jackson Hastings had a really successful return to the NRL and you know, helped control the game well. I think him and Cogger were a pretty good partnership in controlling the game in the wet weather, and the Dragons had their opportunities in this one. They changed some things on the fly, like putting Zach Lomax back to fullback and Sloan over to the wing, and, you know, try to change it up and find a way to score points in, you know, those awful conditions in the second half, but they just couldn't ice their opportunities and make a game of this, and really Newcastle hung on to that 24-10 lead that they had at halftime during the majority of the second half. So credit to Newcastle, a much improved performance, and, you know, they're getting closer to, I still don't think they're fully there yet, but they're getting closer to perhaps going on a run like they did at the back end of 2023. They've got a bit to go, but improved signs there last Friday night for Newcastle. Super Saturday, we saw the Warriors 34-4. Now, I'm not going to mention the Rabbitohs. I'm going to address that after I finish this round recap, and I've got plenty to say, don't worry. But let's talk the Warriors. They were outstanding. They got in the grind against the Rabbitohs early and then managed to score a bunch of points, and I honestly think that they could be a contender for this premiership, the Warriors. When they're on, they're a really hard team to beat. They're electric in attack, very powerful for the middle, and the Rabbitohs just couldn't keep up with them, and Sean Johnson was outstanding. Jackson Ford, I think, has been one of the form players in the competition, and definitely the form second role in this comp this year. He was great last year for the Warriors as well. Could even be potentially an origin smoky if he continues this form. And I thought Chance Clodsad had a really successful return from injury, over 250 metres. Really influential in this one, but well done, Warriors. And we don't know what a disaster see how Sydney are at the moment, and I'll address that shortly. The second game was Super Saturday, probably the game of the round. It was Manly 32 over Penrith 18. Now, there was a controversial decision in this game that led to the Jackson Paulo the Kohler try, but from probably a knock-on. But regardless of that, I thought that despite a bit of a slow start, Manly really found their groove in front of a sold-out home crowd. They fought in tough. They weren't afraid to do the tough defensive efforts against Manly, and they found some success with the football in hand. And this is why I think Manly can definitely be a big threat to this competition. It's the fact that they can play free-flowing football, spread the ball early in the tackle counts, and they ask questions of, you know, this big defensive structures that some of these heavyweight teams have. They're so, I guess, so set in their structures because they've worked so well for them in the past, Penrith in particular, that when you throw the, you know, the playbook out and just play ad-lib football, it can really, you know, cause headaches for the Penrith defence. And To Panthers' credit, I thought Dylan Edwards was outstanding. A few tries. Fisher Harris, really good return from injury. They're still missing their inspirational leader and co-captain, Nathan Cleary. He'll be back soon. He's, you know, the superstar of the NRL, really. So, you know, I'm sure that they won't take too much from that loss. I got the bye next week. Penrith and then Cleary, I believe, back. So they'll be back at full strength. And we all know that they're, without a doubt, still the favourite in this competition. But credit where credit's due. Manly, outstanding. Luke Brooks playing some good football. DCE, probably his best game of the year on the weekend. And Tommy Turbo looking more confident of every appearance. So the fact that their forward pack really got in and did the hard yakka as well says a lot about the culture that Seaboard's actually implemented over the last few years. I think that Manly's becoming a side to watch this season, and in the next few seasons, they could really become a heavyweight of this competition. The final game of Super Saturday was the Dolphins versus the West Tigers. Now, the Dolphins had come into this game only losing one, having lost one game, same as the Tigers. And despite this 5-day turnaround, I thought the Tigers really had a dig in this game. But the Dolphins were a little bit quicker in their line speed. I think they were better at executing their chances, and they got the 2 points at the end of the day. I thought the Hammer was really good again. Their forward pack laid a platform, and unfortunately got a few injuries, like Flegler, who's in doubt this week. He has been named, but he's in doubt. Farnworth out for a while, and I think the young Donahue kid got knocked out as well. So, yeah, I mean, they took their losses here, the Dolphins, but I thought they were really good in the middle of the field and controlled the game nicely. The Tigers, as I said, they fought hard, and they're not going to go down easy this year, and it's really, you know, improved signs under Benji Marshall's tenure so far that, you know, they're not going to be wooden spooners this year, and they're, you know, they might be a class sometimes, but they're always going to compete in games, and, you know, I think we saw that again on Saturday night. So the Dolphins will move on for a big derby this week against Brisbane, and the Tigers, I don't think will lose any confidence, despite going down on Saturday night. The Sunday afternoon games, the weather had mostly cleared by this point, and the Cowboys inflicted more suffering to the poor old Titans. 35-22 winners. They were really never really in danger in this game, despite the fact that the Titans made a late push near the end of the game in the last 25 minutes. But they got to an early lead, the Cowboys, through some really soft Titans defense, and I still don't think they're playing their best brand of footy, the Cowboys, and they're still leaking points, and we saw that they clocked off, and, you know, the Titans went out and scored 3 tries consecutively to make a game of this near the end of the footy match. But what they are doing right is the effort areas with the football in hand are really there, and their variety and tacks really impressive. I think that Dearden, Townsend and Drinkwater are really in sync with each other at the moment. Robson scheme from dummy half as well. So, you know, they're going to be a threat in this competition if they can be consistent. It's just that consistency piece that's an issue, and for the Titans, I mean, Brimson's still not touching the ball enough. Tanner Boyd still, I don't think, managing the game as well as you'd like, and their forward pack are really failing the fire at the moment. So there's not too much to say about the Titans, but every game that they lose, the pressure is going to continue to get on, going to increase for Des Hasler, and they're in a real hole. And just like the Rabbitohs, the only way they're going to be able to get out of that hole is through effort. So yeah, they've definitely got to improve some major areas very quickly, the Titans. And in the final game of the round, big shocker for me, I tipped Parramatta in this one, but it was the Canberra Raiders 41-8 winners over the Eels. The Raiders were very impressive in front of their home crowd at GIO Stadium, and you know, I think that place is really beginning to turn back into a fortress that it used to be. The Eels desperately missing Mitchell Moses to the point that, you know, I say this knowing that Cleary and Tommy Turbo have some really good leaders in the side when they're out. I think Mitchell Moses may be the most influential player to a single club in the NRL. He's just the perfect game manager there for Parramatta. And, you know, you notice, like, I've been critical of Moses in big games in the past, but you notice when he's not there, they're really struggling to score points, and defensively, they just seem off as well. They leaked a lot of points, Parra, and simply wasn't a good enough effort, so Arthur's made some big changes. We know how good Parramatta can be on their day. I mean, they beat Manly 3 weeks ago, but it's the effort areas that are letting them down at the moment defensively, and they're just not in sync with the football in hand. They've got to find a way to either get Dylan Brand to fire at halfback or put a genuine number 7 next to him while Moses is out and Gufson can only do so much. You need you know, some better dummy half work from Joey Lussick and some of their leaders in the forward pack to really step up and help them get out of this hole that they're in without Mitchell Moses for the next month or two. So, you know, that was my dissection of round five. But as I said, it's so unpredictable, this competition in 2024. You just never know what teams are going to be up for what game. And, you know, it's easy once you have the momentum to really go on and go on with it. And, you know, games like that Canberra Raiders, Eels game, and even the Titans Cowboys, when a team got in a roll, you saw them score points really quickly with these new modern rules that the NRL have. So, you know, it's not easy to turn around, but you can turn around quick in this competition, that's all I'm saying. So teams that have struggled 1 week could very well find themselves back in the winner's circle in round six, and I'm excited to preview it. But before we get there, as I said, I've got something I want to get off my chest about the Rabbitohs, and let's get into it. But before we do, please remember to like Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook. It's the best way to stay notified of all the updates on the future of the show. Subscribe wherever you guys listen to your favourite podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I'm everywhere that all these major platforms, these podcasts are on, the major platforms. So check them out. Thanks for your support in 2024. I really enjoy recording this show on a Tuesday night, and I'm glad that I'm keeping the schedule. Hopefully we can get some more guests on soon, but I think that it's been a really great start to the year for the NRL, and I couldn't be happier to start the podcast. So thanks everybody for your support so far in 2024. But I'm going to get into this this basket case of a club that is the South Sydney Rabbitohs now. So I apologise, the rest of the show, the actual footy tips portion of the podcast, might be a little bit shorter because I have to take some time to talk about something I'm very passionate about. I am a South Sydney supporter, and I've been a Rabbitohs supporter since 1999 when I decided I liked the Rabbit. And little did I know, 5-year-old Steve, that the Rabbitohs would be kicked out of the comp and would be extinct and would have to fight their way back from the brink of extinction to get back in the competition in 2002. And I was 8 years old at that time. Since that moment, I've been a diehard South Sydney Rabbitohs fan. And, you know, I've seen ups and downs, I've seen premierships, I've seen wooden spoons. But through it all, I can always say that I've been proud to be a South Sydney Rabbitohs fan, and I'm always going to be a proud South Sydney fan. But honestly, what I've seen so far in 2024 and what I saw at the back end of 2023 has been embarrassing. It's been disgusting as a Rabbitohs supporter to see it, and everything that's gone down since August last year in the organisation has been extremely disappointing for me, and I'm sure a lot of other loyal and passionate, and in fact I know a lot of other loyal and passionate South Sydney fans as well. It's been it's hard to put in words. It's been a disaster, and as someone that has spent his life supporting this organisation, and I don't want to come across as an entitled fan because I love rugby league and I love watching the Rabbitohs, and it's an honour to watch you know, my team play every week, but to sit down for 2 hours and watch the game every week and to see the same old problems each and every week, it's embarrassing, honestly, because it looks like the Rabbitohs as an organisation have, you know, completely collapsed almost. I mean, financially, yes, the club still is going really well financially, but in terms of all the values that the club has had over the years, I haven't seen any of them in 2024. Now, I'm going to put some names at you guys. I'm going to throw some at you. John Sattler, Clive Churchill, Mario Fenech, Craig Coleman, Bob McCartney, Greg Inglis, Sam Burgess, John Sutton. All those players I mentioned, and hundreds of Rabbitohs players over the years, win or lose, whether they're playing well or not, all those players, every time they stepped on the field, had effort, and they played their guts out for their club. They bled for their club. And as a Rabbitohs fan, that's all I want to see. Now, I'd rather, at the moment, I'd rather be back in 2002 to 2006, where the Rabbitohs were winning 3 to 4 games a year and winning wooden spoons, then watch the rubbish that I'm seeing right now. Because I'll tell you right now, players like Paul Stringer, Joey Williams, Luke Stewart, Scott Gettings, a lot of times the club in those days were outclassed by their opposition. But every single one of those Rabbitohs players that I watched every week as a kid, I could tell that they were giving 100% out there, and they were trying their guts out for their club, and they were putting it all on the line, not leaving anything left in the tank. Now, I watched the current Rabbitohs side, and I don't want to just pick on Latrell Mitchell like a lot of the media will. I'll have my say on him, don't worry. But I watch players like Latrell Mitchell, like Cody Walker, and some other players at the club that I question whether they're given 100% every week. I question whether football's their first priority, and I question whether they really want to be at their famous club. The Rabbitohs have been, you know, such an integral part of rugby league since its evolution, and as I mentioned, so many passionate fans that support this club, and I'm proud to be one of them. But from the start of this year, I tipped the Rabbitohs to finish fourth on this podcast, and I had faith that this year was going to be a bright year. But all I've seen is, you know, the 2023 team, but worse. The fact that the Rabbitohs, JD, Blake Sully, all the parties that were involved in this decision, and you can even go back further than this, what I'm about to mention, go back to the Adam Reynolds drama in 2021 when, you know, the Rabbitohs said goodbye to a club legend and someone that has had put his body on the line his whole career for the Rabbitohs, won a premiership. They said, no, you're too old, go on, and he goes on and makes grand final for Brisbane, and yet they re-signed Cody Walker, who's the same age as Adam Reynolds, and give him a 4 years extension is an absolute joke and extremely hypocritical, right? But the fact that Sam Burgess, the assistant coach of the organisation, last year in August, he told it how it was. He said that there's too many egos in this club and the Rabbitohs aren't willing to do what it takes to be a championship team, and players were getting priority over other players. And instead of going, well, maybe he's got a point, and maybe there's a lot of truth to this, and instead of accepting that truth, the Rabbitohs took the easy way out, and they got rid of Sam Burgess. They got rid of a club legend who wanted the best for the organisation, because making changes to the club would be too hard. And, you know, they didn't want to believe it. They didn't want to believe that Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker and some of these other players weren't showing up to training every week and giving their all to this club. And now look at the position they're in. And this is why I know Jason Demetrio, by all reports, a stand-up man, has been successful at every other coaching venture he's got. And don't get me wrong, we made the prelim in 2022. We were beating the Penrith 12-0 to get to the grand final in 2022 before the mighty Penrith team came back and took us out. We were leading the competition after 13 rounds last year. The man can coach. But he has to live and die by his decision, and getting rid of a club legend, not taking that advice on board, and then shuffling the deck week in and week out, you reap what you sow, unfortunately. And it's clear that the atmosphere and the inner workings of the Rabbitohs is a mess at the moment, and it's clear that the club needs a serious culture change. So regardless of whether the Rabbitohs beat the Sharks or not this weekend, in my opinion, Jason Demetrio should be gone. In my opinion, a lot of these players, the whole playing group, needs to sit down together, have a conversation with everybody that's got a major influence over this club. Blake Sully, Russell Crowe, everybody. They need to be told what it is to be expected of a Rabbitoh when you put that jersey on. And this applies to every other club as well. But for a foundation club like South Sydney, if you're not going to give your all, if you're not going to be inspired by those players that I mentioned before from the past to give you all on that jersey, why are you at the club? Get out. And that doesn't apply just to the players that I've mentioned. That applies to everyone at the club, because I saw some awful defence last week. The effort areas weren't there. And win or lose, all you want is effort. Players falling off tackles. Players not hanging onto the ball. These are the first things you learn as a rugby league player, to make your tackles, to get through your sets, to not make easy errors. I understand form slumps are going to be there. I understand that some weeks you're going to be up for matches and you're going to play better than other weeks. But win or lose, the effort has to be there. And when I'm questioning the effort of players at this club, it's not good enough. I look at a player like Damien Cook, and he's in reserve grade this week for the Rabbitohs, right? Sure, has he been playing his best football? Absolutely not. Has he still got a lot? Has he still got a lot to give in the NRL? I believe he does in the next year and a half. And The fact that his career could end this way is sad. And the fact that he's not in the first grade team this week is sad, because I look at Cook, and whether he's playing well or not, you know what he is? He's busting his ass out there every week, giving his all on the field and trying his heart out. He's making 40 to 50 tackles a game. He's trying to get the forward pack rolling. I don't care if the Rabbitohs lose every game for the rest of the season. I've seen it before. I've seen the Rabbitohs struggle before. All I want to see from my club is players giving their all out there, and Cook does that. So why he's in reserve grade this week is unknown to me. And why Demetrio is shuffling the deck's chairs now, because he's under pressure finally, is a joke to me, because there's some changes that should have been made a long time ago, and there's changes that still need to be made in the club that haven't. And it's great seeing Jai Gray and Peter Memazolius getting a run, and Dean Hawkins, some of these guys that have really earned an opportunity in the NRL. But to trust your coaching career on these young players, it's a big risk even for JD. And honestly, you could have blooded these players in the first grade a lot earlier. So, you know, you reap what you sow. And Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker, all the rest of the leadership group, they've got to take the criticism that comes to him. Latrell Mitchell, he has to decide whether he wants to be a rugby league player or not. He needs to decide whether the Rabbitohs is going to be his first priority or not. Because it looks like to me he'd rather be at home on his farm. It looks like to me he wants all the fame of being a rugby league player, but he doesn't want to put in the hard work to get there. And I've defended him multiple times, but what he's showing on his reputation at the moment to the majority of the rugby league world is that he's lazy, is that he's got a massive ego, and that he's a grub on the field, honestly. With some of the stuff that he's doing, the elbow to Sean Johnson, he was just coming in to make a tackle, disgraceful. The lifting of Tohu Harris, disgraceful. The fact that he's missed 16 games for the Rabbitohs and is over a million through suspension over the last 3 years, and he's on $1 million a year, disgraceful. He needs to take a hard look at himself. Some of these other players who have been resting in their laurels for so long need to take a hard look at themselves. And then you've got someone like Cam Murray getting criticised by a certain section of the media. He gives his all every week. They're saying he should, you know, voice his opinion to the rest of the club. I'm sure he does, but that's the job of the coach. That's the job of Jason Demetrio. So I might be going in circles here, but I'm upset. I'm upset as a Rabbitohs fan at the state of the organisation. I don't care if Ben Hornby takes over for the rest of the year, but Jason Demetrio needs to be gone, and it's nothing personal against Demetrio, but there's been some mistakes made in this club, and the only way to fix it is to start over, and whether it's to get rid of a lot of these players, have the tough conversations, they need to happen sooner than later, because, as I mentioned, this club, and don't get me wrong, every club's got rich histories as well, but this club is a foundation club. Win or lose, you have to give your all when you're in the Rabbitohs jersey. And if you're not, you shouldn't be playing for our club. So that's what I'll say about the Rabbitohs this week. They've got a tough game against the Sharks on Saturday night. I'll preview that game and I'll mostly talk about the Rabbitohs changes. But, you know, I look at Cam Murray, I look at Damien Cook, I look at Tom Burgess, and I see effort every week. I look at some of the other players in this club, I don't see effort this week. Great to see the young guys get a run. But the fact that the Rabbitohs have gotten into the position, because we all know, at their very best, the Rabbitohs are capable of winning a premiership. But there's some attitude and ego problems in this club that need to be sorted out now. I'm not talking in 6 weeks. And I'm not talking, you know, the Rabbitohs make a decision in 6 weeks and finally get rid of JD or drop Cody Walker or drop Latrell Mitchell. These issues at the club need to be solved now. Then we need a response from the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and we need one this week. Even in the inner workings, it's just not on the football field. You want a response on the football field, complete them more than 50%. It should just be a requirement to play football to do that. But in the inside of the club, the organisation, we need a response. We need the leaders to step up on the field and off the field. And whether we make the top eight this year or not, whether we win the Wooden Spoon this year or not, all I want to see from my club is effort. So we'll see what we get this week for the Rabbitohs. I know this is taking a lot of your time if you're not a Rabbitohs supporter. So thanks for listening to my little rant, and let's get into the round six action now. All right, with that section of the show, with my over-the-top passionate spell to my club, out of the way, and I apologise for those out there that just wanted to listen to the footy tips this week. With that out of the way, let's get into the footy tips for round six. The action kicks off at McDonald Jones Stadium on Thursday night when the Newcastle Knights are up against an understrength Sydney Roosters side. Now, the Knights, the last few weeks, much improved performances, coming off a big win over the Dragons in terrible conditions on Friday night. They went down narrowly against the Warriors 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, they narrowly beat an understrength Melbourne Storm side. 1-2 out of their last three. Kalyn Ponga's playing really good football. I think that Cogger and Hastings combined pretty well last week. And unfortunately for Gamble, he would be the odd man out in this situation because they both kept their spots this week as well. So, look, it's still a work in progress there. They're out Tyson Frizzell, but they'll head into this game against the Roosters as favourites and in front of a home crowd. In Newcastle, they will be expected to turn up with a big performance. They're obviously still a bit away from that remarkable 2023 form that we saw, but I think that Brayley coming to the side has really straightened the attack up, improved the line speed a little bit. I think that the attack, while not totally in sync, I think that there's slightly a little bit less reliant on Ponga, which is good now that they can create some opportunities through Hastings and Cogger at the moment. Gagai and Best are looking dangerous on their edges as well. So, yeah, I think that, Newcastle, they're getting back to their best brand of football. And, I think their forward pack, even without Frizzell, been pretty impressive. I've particularly been impressed with Dylan Lucas and Pierce Paul in their limited NRL opportunities so far. And they both get a chance again this week to start in the second row. Their opponents, the Roosters, absolutely decimated by injury, unfortunately, this week, coming off the 30-26 loss against the Canterbury Bulldogs. No Sam Walker, no James Tedesco, stood down with the concussion protocol, probably for the best. That means Joey Manu back at fullback this week. They've got Connor Watson at 5'8 with Luke Heary. They're going to be the Haas combination. Michael Jennings plays his 300th game in the centre spot for the Roosters. Apparently, the NRL is not going to acknowledge it. Obviously, there's a lot of, you've got some criminal charges and some other controversies around Jennings, but in my opinion, I think that they should at least acknowledge the 300th. I mean, if they had such a big problem with Jennings playing in the NRL, they could have easily blocked it, but they approved his contract, he's part of the game, and, I think just to be respectful to him, then you should acknowledge his 300. And people might disagree with that. Obviously, very checkered past and some very serious allegations against Jennings. But nonetheless, he's played 300 first grade games and, they allowed him to return. So I think they should at least acknowledge it. And, I don't know the personal situation, but I do know that 300 first grade games is a big achievement for anyone. So, I'm not saying let's throw a party for him, but I'm saying the NRL should at least acknowledge it in some way, in my opinion. And I think it's poor form for them to allow him to play in the NRL. But basically, they're saying they're not accepting him. They're walking a fine line. You can't have it both ways, NRL. But anyway, the Roosters, they're under strength. It's going to be a tough ask for them. I think there any chance against Newcastle, their forward pack needs to really lay a foundation. Hargreaves, Collins, and then Terrell May off the bench. They've got to, make inroads in the middle of the field because I think that's the area that they can get over the top of Newcastle. Manu plays really good football, fullback. I think he's going to have to be at his very best if there's a chance. And, I think that they can score points against Newcastle. Newcastle's defence hasn't been the best so far this season. They can leak some easy points. But you've got to think Newcastle, with the momentum they've gained over the last few weeks, under strength for Roosters side, you've got to expect them to win this football game. And Ponga's in electric form again, but the improvement of the rest of the squad, if they can just match the Roosters forward pack early, I think they've got a bit too much class in the backs where, Ponga outside to some classy finishes in Best, Bradman Best, Dangagai and Tuala. I think that they can cause some problems for Newcastle, for the Roosters, particularly if the Roosters can't get their fair field possession. So I'm going to go Newcastle in this game by 10 points, which will be a massive blow for the Roosters, considering if they lose this game, I believe they've won, two out of their first six. So, they're traditionally slow starters, but yeah, I know they've had the injury dramas, but not the ideal starter for Newcastle to be a real good turnaround to be 3 out of 6, considering their first couple of games were disastrous. So, yeah, I've got Newcastle by 10 on Thursday night. The first of the two Friday night games kicks off at 6 p.m. down at Amy Park in Melbourne when the Melbourne Storm face the Canterbury Bulldogs. The Bulldogs coming off a win, I guess you could call it, 30-26 last Friday night. But man, considering the Roosters had a lot of players out of the game and the Bulldogs had their fair share of dramas as well, don't get me wrong. But they did have the send-off for 65 minutes and the Bulldogs only just held on for a win. It's not a great sign heading into this game against the Melbourne Storm, who, in my opinion, are the premiership favourites when they're fully fit, and they are fully fit at the moment, basically. So, you know, all their stars are back, all their stars are going to start playing good football, and I think this one could be a bloodbath, I honestly do. To their credit, the Bulldogs' defence have held on this year, but if you look at their lineup this week, you know, no Adokar, he's out. They bring in Tracy back in the... No, Adokar's back, sorry. It's Taft that's out. So Stephen Crichton shifted back to fullback, which we'll see how that goes. It'll be interesting to see how he goes against Melbourne. Their forward pack significantly weaker with the injury dramas this week. They got Chris Patullo, Simmons back at lock. Young kid named Haywood, I believe, has got his NRL debut, and so has Katoga. So there's not much there on the bench, unfortunately, and... yeah, honestly, I just don't know how they hold Melbourne out for 80 minutes, considering the attacking weapons the Storm have and how they managed to create enough opportunities to score points. But to be fair, they scored 30 last week, but they scored it against 12 men, and I think Bellamy would really have Melbourne up for this one after they conceded 32 points last week. You want a much improved defensive performance, and as I said, it's another chance for all these superstars in Hughes, Munster, Grant and Papahansen to get back in sync with each other. They've got two dangerous edge back rollers in Katoa and Blaw. Katoa had a lot of success in a few tries last week, and Blaw's he can run a good line as well. He's a threat out there as well. So, yeah, I think that the Storm was going to be too strong on this one. Unfortunately for you Bulldogs fans, it's a week-in, week-out proposition, whether you're up for a game or not, and I think this is going to be a down week for the Dogs. I've got the Storm winning this game by 30 points. I think that it's going to be a brutal affair, unfortunately, for your Bulldog supporters. It's Big Brother versus Little Brother at Suncorp Stadium, 8 p.m. on Friday night. A massive game, maybe the game of the round, between the Broncos and the Dolphins. Now, I believe the Broncos won both of these fixtures last year, and they usually step up when they're versing another side in Queensland, like we saw a few weeks ago against the Cowboys. But there's no doubt they're down troops still. Adam Reynolds, unfortunately, has a hamstring issue. Now, there was fears it could be much worse originally when he did the injury against the Storm last week. So great signs there for Reynolds. Walsh surprisingly returns from injury early, but still no Huss. They've got a few of their other forwards out as well, and I believe Dee Marin is out this week, so Corey Oates gets a reprieve in on the wing against the Dolphins. So obviously they're going to be leaning towards their veteran playmakers in Walsh and Mam, who have taken control of this side in the last 18 months and really made it their own with Reynolds. Without him there, I just don't know if their attack is as fluid, and they just don't seem as organised without Adam Reynolds. He makes a significant difference to this side. Their forward pack, as I mentioned, also full of younger players, the likes of Fletcher Baker starting this week. Jaden Hunt plays again in the second row without Bikora there as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge this week for Brisbane. I thought they were really good, considering they had a lot of troops down last week against the Melbourne Storm, and that's what you want to see. You want to see effort. Like I mentioned with the Rabbitohs earlier, you want to see effort every week, and blood in these young guys could really help Brisbane in the back end of the year. But the Dolphins, to their credit, playing really good football at the moment, on top of the NRL ladder, 3 wins and a bye so far, and they've got injury dramas of their own, unfortunately. It does look like Flegler is going to somehow miraculously play it after it looked like he could have done an ACE joint last Saturday night against the Tigers. Unfortunately, the news isn't as good for Herbie Farnworth and Kurt Donoghue. They're both going to miss this one. Farnworth in particular out for 3 to 4 weeks. Milford finds his way back in the NRL on the bench this week. But yeah, for me, I think the Dolphins, after a very disappointing round one against the Cowboys, have been much improved since. Their line speed's a lot quicker. they're creating opportunities through the middle of their field, through the middle of the field, because they're hardworking forward pack. I mean, Flegler's leading it, but the Bromwich brothers doing a great job. Nichols and Wallace, the old veterans, when they come off the bench, they make a difference as well. And I think Ray Stone's doing a lot of hard work in the lock jersey as well. So, you know, they've got honest forward pack that will work hard and create opportunities for the playmakers. And at the moment, the Hammers playing really good football. Isaiah Katoa looking very comfortable in that seven jersey after he displaced Sean O'Sullivan. So the Dolphins are flying at the moment, which makes, I think, Friday night a really interesting game. I honestly think the Dolphins are a big chance in it. Suncorp Stadium, the Broncos usually bring out their best football. Walsh back, so influential to this side. And I think Madden's done a pretty good job in the seven jersey. My big question for Brisbane this week is, can their young forward pack really put it up against, you know, one of the most experienced forward packs in the competition? You've got leaders everywhere, and guys that have done it before and for a long time in the Dolphins. But if there's one thing, you know, the Broncos might at the edge, it is the speed in the forward pack. If they can get quick play the balls, they can really worry some of these old tired defenders for the Dolphins. But yeah, I think the Dolphins will be up for the challenge. It'll be a really entertaining game. I think that forward pack battle so crucial, because both sides have got superstars, you know, in the halves and at fullback that can create opportunities out of nothing. But when the forward pack can lay your platform and you can get more opportunities, I think that the team that can hold the football on longer and get those opportunities will make the most of them. And I think that the Broncos, despite the fact they're letting a lot of troops, I think we see the best of them this week. And I've got Brisbane by 6 points against the Fins Up Dolphins, who I still think are a chance for finals this year. I mean, it's easy to say when they're first, but I think that expectations should be that they should be a top eight side this year after the start they've had so far under Wayne Bennett. I think that they're overachieving, and I really like what I'm seeing there from the Dolphins after a disappointing round one. They turned around remarkably over the next three games that they've played. You guys know what time of the week it is. It's Super Saturday, everyone's favourite part of the Rugby League week. And this week, the action kicks off at 3 p.m. from Go Media Stadium over there in New Zealand when the Warriors take on the Manly Sea Eagles. Now, this is, I think, going to be the match of the weekend, a real blockbuster game. The Warriors playing a great brand of football. I think that they're really making inroads in the middle of the field. The forward pack been outstanding this year for Noah Blake, always him and Harris leading the pack. Ford and Barnett have been revelations. And I think that Johnson's starting to get back to his 2023 form. Him and Martin have really, settled into their roles nicely, especially Martin, since Metcalf unfortunately got that broken leg that will probably keep him out of the rest of the season. And I think they'll even boosted the Warriors by Nicol Clodsad coming back into the side last week over 250 metres. RTS did a great job there the weekend before, but he's just another threat out there in the edge there for the Warriors. And Egan, I think he's a potential New South Wales bolter. I honestly do. I think that he's playing a really enterprising brand of football out of dummy half. He's creating opportunities for his big forward pack. His defence is really good. I think he's got all the attributes to be an Origin player. I think he just screams Origin, Egan. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I might not have said it, but Andrew Webster's definitely transformed this club. And, you know, you could almost argue, well, they won 3 out of 5 games. They probably could be 5 out of 5. They were leading the Sharks 12-0 in round one, and the Sharks had a rally. The Warriors clocked off admittedly, and then in round two it took a miracle try for the Storm on the stroke of full time to win. So yeah, really impressed by what I've seen in the Warriors. I think they are a heavyweight of this competition, but their opponents, Manly, I mean, when Manly are on, they could be the most dangerous team in this competition. They were fantastic last week, especially in the second half against the Penrith Panthers. DCE controlling the team really well. Brooks is free. Tommy Turbo getting back to his best form. But I think the forward pack's been the real revelation for this Manly side this year, that they haven't been afraid to get gritty and get in and do the hard work. And, you know, there's the ugly stuff. I mean, Paseka's been good. I think that Oluquatu's been destructive as always. Lachlan Croker, just such a hard worker. And then Nathan Brown off the bench is just adding so much punch to this Manly forward pack. It's great to see. I think he's perhaps one of the, you know, buys of the year, honestly. Nathan Brown has been out of this world. So this week, Ben Turbo moves into the centres. I think there's an injury there somewhere, but it's Garrick. Garrick got a HIA last week, so he's out. So I think this is going to be a really toss of the coin sort of game over there in New Zealand. I think that the home advantage really suits the Warriors. And I think that, you know, the exciting part about these two sides is that they're both attack orientated. So, you know, their defense usually hasn't been the focus of these sides. They generally score a lot of points, and I think we could see a high scoring game, but the way they score are very different. The Warriors bulldoze you down the middle of the field, right, and then get it to their key men when they get down there. Manly can honestly, you know, spread the ball a whole length of the field in the first tackle. They, when they feel like it, they can just play so much ad-lib football. So I'm really excited to see exactly how these two teams will match up on Super Saturday. And, you know, I think that the Stars will be the difference. Sean Johnson versus DC. They played together against each other in their first grand final all the way back in 2011, their first season of the NRL they were playing in the grand final. And, you know, who would have thought 13 years later they're both on top of their game still. Both had very different careers, but both playing some great football now. And even Charles Nicol-Klodstad and RTS coming up against, you know, Tommy Turbo and how you stop him. It's going to be a real attacking battle, this one. It could be, you know, last try wins football. I'm excited to check it out on Saturday night. I'm actually going to go the Warriors. I'm going to go the Warriors by 4, I think. Another close one. I think we're going to get some close games this weekend. But, yeah, just like in front of their home crowd, I think that they could lift them ahead. And Manly, as I mentioned, on their best day, they can beat anyone in the competition. We saw it last week against Penrith. They're just a little bit inconsistent for me at the moment, especially defensively. So are the Warriors, but I think Manly on the outside edges can still be exposed, and that's one element of their game they've got to fix up. But both teams playing a real high brand of football at the moment. I'm excited to watch it on Super Saturday, but the Warriors by 4 points. Honestly, a really good Super Saturday, this one. Big game, 5:30 as well. The struggling Parramatta Eels come up against the North Queensland Cowboys in front of their home crowd at Combank Stadium. And let's put it simply, last Sunday night against Canberra at GIO Stadium, going down 41-8. Not good enough if you're a Parramatta Eel or one of their supporters, obviously. Very disappointing. I mean, Mitchell Moses, I just mentioned it in the game review for last week. I think that he's one of the, if not the most influential player in rugby league in terms of how important he is to his club. The Eels are really missing him because he organised the side around both in attack and defence. I think Dylan Brown isn't a halfback and he's been asked to play that, and it's been a real opportunity, I think, these last few weeks to step up and make the team his own and prove that he's got that side of his game in him. But, you know, he's primarily a run-first player and I don't think we've seen it. So, interesting for Brad Arthur, he's dropped some players this week, Mike Acevo being a surprise one. But Dejan Arcee comes in for Blake Talangi, who, as I mentioned, Blake Talangi's got such a run-first mentality as well, and I think Arcee is sort of a similar player. So I still don't think the Eels have got a game organiser there, and I think they're going to suffer as a result. Guffson's got to be more involved in the kicking game. I think their forward pack's been good this year. I think they've definitely got one of the best forward packs in the competition, and RCG's playing some good football. Hop Goodies too. Cartwright's been fantastic, and you know, Lane's still finding his feet after his injury as well. Paulo, hot or cold, but I think that overall, they're a forward pack that can stand up to anyone on their day. But at the moment, it's just that organisation and that playmaker, that key playmaker that they're missing at the moment. And unfortunately for Parra, I don't know if there's anyone there to get him out of trouble in terms of doing a lot of the general kicking and getting space for his forward packs and getting him to run those lines. And it's just clunky at the moment there at Parramatta, and their opponents, the Cowboys. I think that, you know, while I stand by the fact, even though they're second on the ladder, I don't think they've really gotten out of first gear this year. They are scoring a lot of points, and Drinkwater didn't seem to be the guys controlling the side. Their young forward pack, players like Fino Fuyaki and McIntyre and Griffin Neen, they're all doing a really good job. And you can see that the Cowboys are building to something. Now, I still think defensively they can be a lot better. They clocked off against the Titans last week, and we saw the Titans score 3 very quick tries against them, put the Cowboys under a little bit of pressure and woke them up a little bit in the back end of that game. But, you know, definitely one of the most damaging sides with the football in their hands. I'd like to see an improved effort defensively. But, you know, if I compare these two sides heading into Saturday night, I see one side that's bursting with confidence with the football in the hand and knows how to score, and one side that is kind of stumbling their way through games without the inspirational leader. And don't get me wrong, it, just shows you how important a great halfback is. But without him, I just don't see how Parramatta match up to this Cowboys offense. And defensively, we saw them very exposed last week. They've got to do a better job in that area. They gave the Raiders plenty of attacking opportunities and plenty of football. But the fact that the Raiders also scored some long ranges should be a concern. And if I'm Brad Arthur, I'm really putting the emphasis on defense this week and defensive pressure, because without their halfback, they have to win games through defense. And let's be honest, it's never really been a strong point for Parramatta. So I've got the Cowboys by 18. I think they can run away with this game late on the piece. I think it'll be pretty close for the majority of it. But at the moment, I think that the stars for the Cowboys are more in sync than this unorganized mess of a Parramatta attack, unfortunately. The final game of Super Saturday sees the South Sydney Rabbitohs back at home at a Core Stadium. The struggling Rabbitohs versus the Cronulla Sharks. Now, you've already all heard my piece on the Rabbitohs. If you haven't, go back and watch it near the start of this show. There's not much else to say. They're a disaster at the moment. They're a club that needs to make some wholesale changes, and there needs to be some egos and some attitudes change really quickly, and players need to put in the effort if they're going to be wearing the Rabbitohs jersey every week. That's all I've got to say about them. Apart from the fact that, you know, it's exciting to see the likes of Jai Gray make his first grade debut, Munro play his first game of the year coming back from injury. Exciting speedster on the wing there gives the Rabbitohs a bit of much needed speed, because they're a slow football side at the moment. And we'll see how Peter Memorzoulas goes as starting hooker with Damien Cook dropped, which I 100% disagree with, but that's the decision the Rabbitohs have made. So, you know, I always back my club, but I won't be tipping them this week, I tell you that, because Cronulla coming off the bye, I think they've started the year off really well. Apart from that game against the Tigers, where admittedly they got some bad luck in terms of HIAs and forwards being ruled out of the game, they've been really impressive. And you know, we always talk about how the Sharks can punish the lower ranked sides in the team, but even against, you know, the likes of the Warriors, they really showed up and were really resilient. So you know, Nicho Hynes, I think, hasn't really got out of first gear, but him and Trindle have controlled the side around well, and I think the Kennedy and their forward pack have really done a lot of hard work to lay the platform. Their wingers to Katona and Nato Mertalo, that the way they start sets, they're making so many meters and putting the opposition on the back foot, and really, I guess, negating some opposition's kicking games as well with their returns. So yeah, I just like the momentum that Cronulla can get. When they get on a roll, they can make meters quickly and really put the pressure back on the defense. And, you know, to their credit defensively, they have been tough at times. Now, the last game against Canberra they played a couple of weeks ago, they let a lot of points in early, but they fought hard in the game. So even when things go against them, they're showing resilience. But yeah, when I compare these two sides, I just feel like Cronulla, they know if they get into a tough spot that they can get out of it. For South Sydney, if they get into a tough spot, they're so weak mentally at the moment that they just completely fade away. So based on that alone, and based on the season as a whole so far, I can't tip anything but the Sharks. And I'm going to tip the Sharks by 20 points. I just think the Rabbitohs are a disaster, and said I always back my side. I hope something changes and something changes quick, because it's embarrassing at the moment. But yeah, I mean, how do you fix us? I think the Rabbitohs need this bye in round 7 to sort exactly what the future of the year is going to look like for them, because at the moment, I can't see much changing this Saturday night, unfortunately, for the Rabbitohs. So I've got the Sharks by 20. Sunday afternoon football starts at 4:05, which, by the way, daylight savings ended last week in New South Wales. Why are we persisting with those 4:05s? As I just said that, I just scrolled through the drawer and saw that 2 p.m. football's back next round. So thank God for that. But 4:05 p.m. this week, it's the West Tigers versus the St. George Royal Dragons at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. Now, this is truly could be a toss of the coin game. Now, the Tigers, one of the surprise packages of 2024, despite going down to the Dolphins last weekend, they did have a short turnaround there, and defensively, a lot more committed than they have been in a number of seasons. Benji Marshall has them playing exciting brand of football too. Now, they're great at completing their sets, but they can shift the ball early, which is great to see. I think Caesar's been a revelation at halfback, really controlling the side around well, and they're going to look even better next week when they get Lachlan Gowan back, because he's a superstar in the making, the young kid. And hopefully he can continue to progress his NRL career there. But yeah, I think that their forward pack has really stepped up, laid a good platform. Mappy Corrissey has been enormous this year, and you know, the effort areas are really there for the Tigers, more so than the Dragons, I think. And the Dragons, don't get me wrong, they've had some big performances this year. Great game a couple weeks ago against Manly for them to really take Manly out of that game. And, you know, round one against the Titans, they were big winners as well. And, you know, they had those 1% effort areas there with the forward pack, Tom Eisenhuth in particular, you know, him and Raymond Fittipaldi played really well in that game as well. But just consistently, they're not doing it. I think Flanagan's got the right mindset. He's taken the line on. He's letting Ben Hunt control the game. But their attack's just a little bit too one-dimensional for me at times. Defensively, they can't handle a lot of pressure against them. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game on Sunday afternoon, because the Dragons, at their very best, can score a lot of points. And the Tigers, at their very worst, like we saw in round two against the Raiders, can leak a lot of points. But if I look at the momentum between these two teams at the moment, I think the Tigers are just, they're a side that's more determined to rise from where they currently are at. And I think the Dragons, under Flanagan, they're still learning exactly how he wants to coach the side. Obviously, the Zach Lomax noise is still there, and I still think they're kind of just chopping and changing to see what sticks in terms of positions. I mean, we saw Lomax and Sloan change positions last week. The forward pack seems to be rotating a little bit. They're still trying to figure it out a bit, and honestly, I'm just burnt by the fact that I tipped the Dragons last week and they really let me down. Matt Kozaru, why am I tipping the Dragons on this podcast? I don't know, but I've got the Tigers by 12 points, but I think that this one could be a real high-scoring affair on Sunday afternoon. Final game of the round starts at 6:15 this week at Canberra GO Stadium, when the Raiders play another game there against the Gold Coast Titans this week. In Canberra, have really been one of the surprise packages of 2024 for me so far. I know they made the finals last year, but I think a lot of pundits and fans expected them to drop significantly this year. What I've been really impressed by when I watch Canberra is the younger players that have really been influential in some of these results. Ethan Strange, I think, has been a revelation from 5'8". I think Matt Timico and Savage and Schiller really playing good football when they got opportunities. I think Rapana, that was really, really good for him in the first month of footy as well. Unfortunately, he's missing this week. And Chevy Stewart, another youngster, make his debut in the side this weekend. The forward pack's been pretty good as well. Danny Levi has been impressive. We had a dummy half. Smithies has been good, coming over from England. And Hoskins has been impressive as well, as has Dominic Young. So, yeah, I'm really liking what I'm seeing in the effort areas from Canberra this year, which, again, the theme of this show this week seems to be effort. But yeah, I think Ricky Stewart knows how to get his club up for some of these games. And for me, their opponents this week, the Gold Coast Titans, it just seems to be going bad from worse. For some reason, the sixth week in a row, Tanner Boyd's the halfback for the Titans. And don't get me wrong, he's not all their problems, but I just don't think he's at the level to control a first grade side at the moment. And maybe a spell in New South Wales Cup will help him. Brimson, still in the centres. You need to get him closer to the ball. Jaden Campbell at fullback. I think him and Fifita made the side look better the last few weeks a little bit. Fifita obviously attracts a lot of defenders to him, but if you take out those two players, it's a pretty dire affair. I mean, their forward pack, not that I don't think they've won a game in the middle all year. Well, they haven't won a game, period, but I don't think they've gotten the points in any of their battles up front against any opposition. And if you look at the squad that the Titans have at the moment, there's just not enough depth there. Their forward pack's lacking any real punch apart from Verrills, and him and Randall, I don't think have really had an impact because of their forward pack's been so badly beaten. And their outside backs defence is weaker, to say the least. I think that Kelly has been really disappointing this year, really poor. Fifita at Harley Smith Shield, not great defenders, and even Khan Pereira is not, and that's why he finds himself in the outer. So Des has this a coach that really prides himself on defence, and I just don't see it improving any time soon, unfortunately, for the Titans. So, yeah, I think Canberra continue their momentum and a really impressive start to the season, and take care of a Titans side that I honestly don't know when they get their first win. So, yeah, I've got the Titans losing this game, unfortunately, the Raiders by 40, and I just don't know when it's going to get better for them. And if we recap my tips now, on Thursday night, we've got the Newcastle Knights beating the Sydney Roosters, who are injury-ravaged. Obviously, Melbourne dominating the Bulldogs on Friday night. The Broncos beating their little brother, the Dolphins, in the local derby. The Warriors being too good for Manly in a really entertaining encounter. The Cowboys, who did the Cowboys have again? Oh, yeah, Parramatta, inflicting more punishment there. Sharks embarrassing the Rabbitohs. And then Sunday afternoon, I've got the Tigers winning an interesting one against the Dragons. And the Raiders being way too strong for the Titans. So I've actually gone all the favourites, I believe, this week. But as I said, there's a lot of these games, like if Parramatta or, you know, if the Dolphins come out, you just don't know what you're going to get from them, especially Parra. They could come out and really cause an upset. Manly, definitely capable of causing an upset. The Dolphins playing really good football. Even the Roosters under strength, I think, could do it. And, you know, what, Canberra, Chevy Stewart at fullback, maybe the Tigers can somehow expose that. So there's definitely upsets that are capable of happening, but I feel like the competition's still sorting itself out a little bit. And while it is, we know the teams that are really struggling, and I think those teams continue to struggle this week, unfortunately. So, look, big rant aside, I've enjoyed the show this week. I hope you guys enjoy your footy this weekend. Stay safe, especially in New South Wales, if this weather continues, and hope everybody out there is doing well. And enjoy your football this weekend, guys. Give me feedback for the show. Let me know if there's anything you'd like to see improved on the show. I'll see you guys next week on Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Enjoy your footy this weekend.